Okay, so this morning we are in our fourth lesson on the subject of the means of grace. And so I won't take too much time reviewing too far back, but I do want to just talk a little bit about our last lesson, because this is in a sense a continuation of our last week's lesson. And so this is the section we're in on the means of grace. We're looking at the Word of God as a means of grace, the Scriptures as a means of grace. And so, children, I'll put you on the spot again. Do any of the children remember we said there's three means of grace that God has given to the church? Can anybody remember what those three are? Or remember one of them? We talked about last week. You can speak up if anybody, if you know. Last week we talked about the Word of God. So the Bible that God gives us, the Scriptures. His Word is a means of grace. And then also the sacraments. We haven't gotten to those yet in our lesson. But we're going to talk about baptism, and we're going to talk about the Lord's Supper in the coming weeks. And then lastly, prayer is the third one that is a means of grace. We're going to talk about that to end our lesson in a few weeks. So let's look at the larger catechism. Again, larger catechism question 155. This should be the beginning of your notes here. And this is what we looked at last week as we looked at the Word of God as the first means of grace here. So, Chris, would you be so kind as to read the answer to larger catechism question 155 for us, please? I'll read you the question there. How is the Word made effectual to salvation?
The Spirit of God maketh the reading, but especially the preaching of the Word, an effectual means of enlightening, convincing, and humbling sinners, of driving them out of themselves and drawing them unto Christ, of confirming them to His image and subduing them to His will, of strengthening them and strengthening against temptations and corruptions, of building them up in grace and establishing their hearts in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation.
Thank you. So, again, we've noted that the larger catechism packs a lot of wisdom into these fairly, you know, these brief question and answers here. So, just to break that down, last week we saw that, first of all, it's the Spirit of God that makes the reading and especially the preaching of the Word effectual to the Christian. So we wanted to make sure and note that. We said that it's the Holy Spirit that comes alongside the Word of God there, and He works that and makes that effectual in the lives of the believers. So the Spirit is an integral part of the Word of God being made effectual in our lives. So we said there were four ways last week that the Word of God is made effectual to salvation. So another way to think about it is, why are the Scriptures important? Why are they invaluable to a Christian? You know, why do we need the Scriptures? What do they do that nothing else can do in the life of a believer? So we said there were four things here, and these should be in your notes as well. And these are basically all out of the larger catechism answer that Chris just read to us there. So we saw the first thing that the Word of God does is that it's a means of enlightening sinners. And that simply means that God reveals Himself to us by His Word, and the Scriptures teach us how God relates to man, which is through covenants. So we would never know these things if God hadn't given us His Word. We would never know how to relate to Him if not through the Scriptures. Number two, we said that the Word of God is important because it's a means of convincing and humbling sinners. And we said that this is found in the law and in the gospel, found throughout all of Scripture, both in the Old and New Testaments. And we said that one of the uses of the law was to show people their sinfulness or their need for a Savior. So another way to think about it is, you know, people have to be shown that they're lost before they can realize, you know, that they need a Savior. The law serves the purpose of driving them to Christ. Third, the Word is a means of grace of conforming us to His image and subduing us to His will. And then we talked about knowing the will of God. And we said, how will you know the will of God? Well, it's by knowing His Word. That's how we'll know the will of God. So when we know the Word of God, we know what pleases God. We see that in, for example, one place in, say, the Ten Commandments. We know which things please God. We also see in His Word that we know what pleases God in worship is another way we know how to please Him. That's all found in the Word of God. Then lastly, we see the Word of God as a means of guarding against temptations, as making us holy. And we saw that Christ rebuked Satan with the Word, and that the Word is our defense against the world, our flesh, and the devil. So, that's kind of a quick review of our last week, and that brings us to the place where we're at now to continue talking about the Word of God. So, at this point, if nothing else, we should come away with the view that the Word of God is certainly important in the life of the Christian. It's necessary in making salvation effectual and for building up the saints in grace. And it's imperative to the Christian's life because it's a means of grace, and the way that it functions as a means of grace is those four ways we listed above. So, now we know, at this point, we know we need the Word of God, right? Those four reasons we listed there, we know it's important. We know that we need it. The Christian can't survive without the Word of God. So now that we know that it's important and that we need it, we want to know, well, how do we receive the Word of God? So that may seem like an obvious question, but it's actually a really important one. So that's what we're going to look at today. This lesson is basically focused on how we receive the Word of God in the life of the Christian. And so that is what we're going to look at now. If you have something that you reference the larger catechism with, you might want to get that handy, but it should all be in your notes as well. And we're basically going to look at larger catechism questions 156 through 160. So we're going to cover those questions today. Larger catechism 156 through 160. And we're just going to look at those and look at the answers to those. So basically, we says reading in 155, what Chris answered for us, there's two ways the Spirit makes the Word effectual in the life of the Christian. And those are the reading of the Word of God. And what's the second one? And the preaching of the Word of God. That's what the answer says. It's the reading and the preaching of the Word. So those are basically the two ways to receive the Word of God. If you think about it, I mean, it's just kind of a common sense answer at that point. How do you receive the Word of God? From, the Scriptures here. We have the God's Word given to us here in the Bible. And how do we receive that? Well, we either have to read it, or, of course, somebody, if you can't read, then somebody else would read it to you. Or you would sit under someone who's going to preach the Word of God to you and expound on what the Scriptures teach. So those are the two ways. So for questions 156 through 159 of the Larger Catechism, it's basically asking four simple questions that ask these questions. It says, who should read the Word of God, and how should they read it? And then it asks, who should preach the Word of God, and asks, how should they preach it? So let's answer those four simple questions now, looking at our larger catechism question and answers. First, who should read the Word of God? So question 156 is going to ask that and then answer that for us. So, Rom, could you answer question 156 of the larger catechism? I'll ask you the question there. Is the Word of God to be read by all?
Although all are not to be permitted to read the Word publicly to the congregation, yet all sorts of people are bound to read it apart by themselves and with their families, to which end the Holy Scriptures are to be translated out of the original into vulgar languages.
Thank you. So, it's a pretty straightforward answer we have there to our question in 156. Is the Word of God to be read by all? Who should read the Word of God? And so we saw the answer, first of all, tells us that only ordained elders are to read the Word publicly in worship. It tells us that all are not permitted to read the Word publicly to the congregation. And so we see both from Scripture and then also our directory of public worship tells us about there are only certain men that are called to read the Word of God publicly in corporate worship. And those are, of course, the ordained elders of the church. They're the ones who are to read the Word publicly in worship. But then the question goes on, the answer also tells us that all sorts of people are bound to read it apart by themselves and with their families. So what does that mean there? Well, really simply, it tells us that everybody should be reading the Word of God on their own, right? So if you can read, you should be reading the Word of God. Why is that important? There's a quote here that I have in your notes, and it's by Thomas Ridgely, and this is his commentary on the catechism question here. This is a really good quote that Ridgely says. He says, "Now it appears that it is the duty of everyone to read the Word of God, inasmuch as it is given us with this design. If God is pleased, as it were, to send us an epistle from heaven, it is a very great instance of contempt cast on it, as well as so the divine condescension expressed therein for us to neglect to read it. Does he impart his mind to us herein, and is it not our indispensable duty to pay the utmost regard thereto? So, what Ridgely's saying here in this quote is, and it's written there, so you probably want to read over it later on and kind of let this sink in. But what he's saying here is, he says, think about this. He says, think about what we have in the Scriptures. You know, we talked about this, I think, in one of our earlier lessons. We said that too oftentimes, something that we're guilty of as Christians, especially in the modern day and especially in America, we're blessed to have such free and easy access to the Word of God, right? I mean, you can find the Scriptures, it's on people's phones, and you can find it on the internet, and you can buy hard copies of it, and just almost any place that sells books, you know, Walmart, you can get copies of it. So we have this such easy access to it that unfortunately sometimes we take that for granted. And here's what Ridgely's trying to remind us of. He says, think about what you possess when you have the copy of the Scriptures. What do you have? You have the very Word of God. And we don't want to take that lightly. We oftentimes forget that, you know. People sometimes will want to place an emphasis and think that if somehow God would speak to them in an audible voice or something like that, or somehow, you know, that would just be huge, right? I mean, who would be able to resist that if, you know, they heard this booming voice from heaven or something like that? Whatever you would hear in that moment, you would obviously do, right? And you would give that your full attention, right? Because you would say, oh, that's God speaking, and that would be a big deal. Well, God has not chosen to speak to us in that manner, but instead he's chosen to speak to us in the Scriptures here. But I think that we should give that the same weight and the same attention and hold that in the same regard as however you want to think about it. This is God's very word, and this is God speaking to us. And so there's a good quote, I think, that I don't have it written down. I'm just remembering off the top of my head. I think it's R.C. Sproul, who says something along the lines of, he says, if you want to hear God speak to you, read your Bible. And he says, and if you want to hear God speak to you out loud, then read your Bible out loud. And he's kind of, you know, so it's kind of a silly joke there. But the point he's making is he's saying, this is the very words of God here. And so we don't want to take that lightly. So the point is that everybody should be reading the Word of God because of the value that it contains in it here. See, it's an epistle from heaven. It's, you know, and he says it's great contempt if we neglect to read that. We're casting contempt upon it. It's our indispensable duty to pay the utmost regard to the Word of God, to the reading of the Word of God. That's what Ridgely says. So, you know, another example, can anybody think of a time in history, particularly in church history, when the Word of God maybe wasn't as accessible to everybody and read out, you know, everybody didn't have access to it, everybody wasn't able to read it for themselves? Anybody think of a time in church history? What's a time? What are you thinking of, Chris?
I'm thinking when it was still in Latin.
Yes, and the church that had it in Latin and did not translate it for the common people was the Roman Catholic Church. And so what the Roman Catholic Church was guilty of is, you know, not making the Word of God accessible to the common people. So it was in Latin, as Chris noted here. And so think about it. That would be something we could actually, you know, see that in our own day. Because how many of us in here are fluent in reading Latin? Well, I certainly am not. I don't know. So if the Word of God was only accessible in Latin, and the only you know, one person knew Latin, and that was, you know, the head of our church or something like that, you know, we couldn't read the Word of God for our own. And so that's a very dangerous thing, because we saw, and we see even today, all the errors that come out of the Roman Catholic Church because the people were blind to the truth of Scripture. They didn't have access to that, to themselves, to be able to read that. So again, question 156 is telling us that the Word of God is to be read corporately, so in public corporate worship there. That's restricted to the office of the ordained elders, but everybody should be reading the Word of God for themselves, privately, and to their families, and things like that. And then it talks about, in the end, the Holy Scriptures are to be translated out of the original into vulgar languages. Vulgar languages, that just simply means to the common language. So whatever language you read or you speak and you know, that's what you should have a copy of the scriptures in that language. So, you know, whatever country you think of, you know, it's very important that we have Chinese copies of the scriptures for people in China and Spanish copies for people in, you know, South America and things like that. And our English copies here. So, Word of God is to be read by everyone. Now let's look at how the Word of God is to be read in question 157. So, Pastor, could you answer 157 for us while I read the question to you?
Yes, of course.
Thank you. How is the Word of God to be read?
The Holy Scriptures are to be read with a high and reverent esteem of them, with a firm persuasion that they are the very Word of God, and that He only can enable us to understand them, with desire to know, believe, and obey the will of God revealed in them, with diligence and attention to the matter and scope of them, with meditation, application, self-denial, and prayer.
Thank you. So, again, this is a really, you know, it's a pretty simple, straightforward answer here, how the Word of God is to be read. And we just talked about how we want to read the Scriptures with a high and reverent esteem. We want to give them the utmost importance because why? Because the answer says, because with a firm persuasion, they're the very Word of God. I can't impress upon us enough how important that is, that when we are reading the Scriptures, we're reading the very Word of God. And so it talks about that we're to know and we're to believe and obey the will of God that's revealed in them. And we're to do that how? With diligence. So diligence is telling us this is something we should be doing on a regular basis. We should be, you know, committing ourselves to doing it. So it's not sufficient to simply sit under the preaching of the Word of God one day a week or something, you know, on the Lord's Day only. That's certainly important. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes here. But I want to encourage everybody that if you're not reading the Word of God diligently, meaning on a regular basis, daily basis, that you should start doing that as soon as you can. You know, young people, kids, we want to make sure that you're reading the Word of God every single day, you know, that you make time and set apart time for that. You know, oftentimes, I know I'm guilty of this as well. We'll have like a favorite TV show or something, right? And we'll always make sure we set time apart for that. Or we'll have something else that is really important to us, and we make sure and fit time for those things into our schedules, whatever we value. And so we want to make sure that the Scriptures and reading the Word of God is given that same importance. So we always want to make sure and set time apart with diligence. So that means getting a good Bible reading plan if you don't have one already. And there's lots of different Bible reading plans that you can go to. I know most everybody in here probably is familiar with those and has their own. But if somebody's listening to this recording or something like that, you want to research and look up a good Bible reading plan where you can be committed to reading through the Scriptures on a regular basis and reading through them something regularly that you're going to keep up with. So that's most important, that how you're to read the Word of God is with a high and reverent esteem, with firm persuasion that when you read the Word of God, it's the very Word of God. And do this diligently. Do this on a regular basis, giving your full attention to them. And you meditate upon the Word of God. You apply it to your life. And then lastly, this is really important too. It says that you're to do this with prayer. Always make sure that when you go to read the Scriptures, you know, that you're praying when you're reading the Scriptures. Pray before you read them. Ask God to do these things for you. So let's look at question 158. This is a really short question to answer, so I'll just read this one. 158 in your notes says, by whom is the Word of God to be preached? So we already answered who's to read it and how they're to read it. Now we're saying, who's to preach the Word of God? And the answer is, the Word of God is to be preached only by such as are sufficiently gifted and also duly approved and called to that office. So, can just anybody preach the Word of God? Can just anybody come up into a pulpit and preach the Word of God on the Lord's Day? No, it's very specific here in this answer. See, I've been in a lot of churches, and I've been in a lot of denominations before, where they simply said that, you know, if you were sincere, and basically if you wanted to preach the Word of God, then sure, go ahead, you know, well, you can go ahead and do it. If you want to do that, well, that's good enough, you know, that you have a desire for that. That's a good desire, so sure, you should get in the pulpit and you should preach the Word of God. But that's not what the larger catechism tells us. the larger catechism tells us, that it explains to us that preaching is held in such a high esteem, it's such an important duty, that not just anybody can get into the pulpit here. And so we talked about this some when we did our lesson on the Presbyterian government, and we talked about, you know, elders, and we talked about the qualifications for elders and qualifications for our ministers. So I won't go into that too much here. That's in our other lesson here. But I want you to note these two things here that it says, that those are sufficiently gifted and also approved and called to that office. So first of all, what does it mean that they're sufficiently gifted? Well, first of all, let's consider that when somebody's preaching the Word of God to us, when the man is up here proclaiming the Word of God, we want somebody who knows what they're doing, right? In simple terms, we want somebody who has had some kind of training in that. We want somebody who, you know, has gone to school for some of that. And those aren't, you know, a lot of times people will argue at this point and say, well, you know, seminary, those things, those aren't found in the scriptures, you know. Jesus never went to seminary and things like that. Which is kind of that's not a very good argument, first of all, because, I mean, there weren't seminaries as we know them today, but he did have training and things like that. And do we also consider, you know, I know some of the seminaries, they'll often make this analogy, and they'll say, would you let just any man operate on you, you know, perform surgery on you? And one of the well-known Reformed seminaries, they run this in their ads there. They say, you know, you wouldn't just let anybody perform surgery on you or on your loved one, right? You would want somebody to do that surgery who had sufficient training, who had been to, you know, a good medical school, who had, you know, practiced these things and had been under the oversight of somebody who knew what was going on. And the same thing is with the preaching of the Word of God. You want a man who's been sufficiently gifted and who's been approved and called to that office. So who is it that calls a man to the office of a minister, of an elder, to preach the Word of God? Who is it that calls them to that? Well, in the big picture of that, it's God who calls them to that, right? There's a calling that a man will know that, you know, God is calling him to that office. But it even goes beyond that, because men don't just say, well, you know, like we talked about earlier, they don't just say, well, I feel like God's called me to this, so let me get in the pulpit. Well, we don't stop there. But then we go ahead and we say that we also want them to be approved to that office. And so who is it that approves a man to the office to be able to preach the Word of God? Well, that is found in, first of all, you know, starting the local church, the session will approve and see if a man has, you know, the gifts, that they're there. And if they think he's called, then that man will go on to the presbytery level, and they'll come under care of the presbytery. And that's how it works in the RP denomination, is that, you know, men who we see as gifted and who believe they're called to this office, they come under care of our presbytery. So we have committees and we have men who are praying for these men, and they're giving them oversight, and they're training them up to become preachers of the Word of God. So question 158 is basically letting us know that it's not just anybody who preaches the Word of God. And I know you're probably sitting there thinking, this is really redundant, this is obvious, but it's not actually obvious to most people. So if it's obvious to you, well, I'm thankful for that. And that's a good thing that you've been, you know, in a faithful denomination that practices these things. But unfortunately, there's so many people that we see who are so many men and we see women, right, who are preaching the Word of God, or we'll do the quotes there, preaching the Word of God, that the Scriptures have not said they're to do that. So you see some of the most popular churches, some of the biggest mega churches in the U.S. today, some of these guys who, you know, have their TV shows and sell all their books and stuff like that, these are guys who have no kind of real training in that. You know, they simply were guys who had, you know, pretty smiles and, you know, big hair and had the right connections or something like that. So, you know, I know that sounds silly, but it's something really important there. We want to make sure the Word of God isn't preached by someone who is not qualified to do that. So, moving on here, question 159. Chris, we're back to Chris. Could you answer this one for us, 159?
Yes, I can.
Thank you. How is the Word of God to be preached by those that are called thereunto?
They that are called to labor in the ministry of the Word are to preach sound doctrine diligently in season and out of season, plainly, not in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, faithfully making known the whole counsel of God. Why? necessities and capacities of the hearers zealously with fervent love to God and the souls of his people, sincerely aiming at his glory and their conversion, edification, and salvation.
Thank you. So, that's a little bit of a longer answer, but I think if you'll go through and you'll reread that later on, you'll see that there's nothing in there that's, you know, hard to understand. There's nothing, there's nothing tricky in this answer, anything like that. It's pretty straightforward. It's just telling us that that the man who's going to preach the word of God, how he's to do that here. He's to preach it. He's to preach sound doctrine. He's to do this diligently as well, faithfully. He's to do it to make known the whole counsel of God wisely, applying it to the capacities of the hearers. That means he doesn't come in the pulpit and explain to you everything technical that he learned in seminary. It's not time for the man to show off how smart and how wise and how learned he is. That's not the time for him to do that. This is the time for him to explain the word of God and to proclaim it and to teach and to encourage his hearers, his flock that God has placed him over. And so we see in all these things here, that's how the word of God is to be preached, with fervent love to God and the souls of the people. Aiming at his glory, God's glory, and their conversion, the people's conversion, edification, and salvation. So it's a very lofty goal for a man to get in the pulpit and to proclaim the word of God, to preach the word of God. That's something, that comes with a lot of responsibility. And so I know you're probably thinking, well, I'm not a preacher. What does this have to do with me? But we're going to get to you in a second, so just hang tight here. So another thing I want to touch on before we move on to all of us, maybe other people, maybe the people who just sit and hear the word of God proclaimed, because we're going to get there in question 160. But before we move on to there, I want to make note of something else that we looked at, or that the catechism explains to us in question 155, because I found this wording to be quite interesting here. So if you'll go back to the front of your page there, question 155, and if you look at the answer, the Spirit of God makes the reading, but especially the preaching of the word. So the larger catechism here is making note here that especially the preaching, they're taking, they're singling out the preaching of the word. I hope I'm explaining that. Do you see that there? They're saying especially the preaching. They're saying there's something special about the preaching of the word of God. The reading of the word of God is very important. You've already said that, right? It's something everybody should be doing, but the preaching of the word of God. So what is it why do we say that especially the preaching of the word? Is the preaching somehow more special than the reading of the word of God? And so I think there are some benefits of preaching that go beyond the reading of the word of God, that benefits of sitting under preaching of the word of God that go beyond the reading of the word of God. So I'm going to look at a couple of those here, note some of the benefits of sitting under the preaching. Because I don't want somebody to think and say, well, yeah, you're right, you've made a good point, Andrew. We do have the Word of God for ourselves. So that means I can just, stay home and I can just read the Word of God on my own and I'll be, built up and I'll be encouraged and I'll read about all those things, I'll learn the will of God and I'll read about law and gospel. And I can do that all on my own, I don't understand what's the point of me coming and sitting under the preaching of the Word of God, right? It's probably what you were thinking, right? No. So, what are the benefits of sitting under the preaching of the Word of God and not just reading the Word of God for yourselves? Well, here's a couple benefits. First of all, the minister expounds upon the Scriptures. So, the passage isn't only to be read, but it's to be explained as well. The minister is going to explain the Word of God. Whatever passage, whatever his text is, he's going to give you some insight into that. He's going to give you some knowledge. He's going to help explain that passage to you. So let's look at Nehemiah. This is here in your notes here. This is from Nehemiah 8. There's a couple verses here. I kind of just chopped them up here. So this is verses 4 and 5 and then skip to 7 and 8 here. So I'm going to read you this passage from Nehemiah 8 and see how the passage isn't only to be read but explained as well. So Nehemiah 8 says, "So Ezra the scribe stood on a platform of wood which they'd made for the purpose. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. Also, Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Achub, Shabbathai, Hodijah, Messiah, Kelita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites helped the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. So here we see in Scripture that they helped the people to understand the reading. They didn't just say, here's the word of God, you know, here's the law of God, you have it for yourself, take it, and you know, go and you have it, and here's what God says, and it's his word, and so you just go and go on your way with that. No, they helped the people, they proclaimed it, and they helped and made sure the people understood what they were reading, what God was giving them there. So second, we see that the preaching of the word involves much more than just simply, you know, reading the word. It's not just giving the text that's before you. It also involves reproving, rebuking, and exhorting with all long suffering and doctrine. So a lot of times, I'm sure that, you know, a lot of times we can read the word of God for ourselves, and it's really easy to read over the word of God and to skip out on our Passover. We don't often, or at least I don't often, read the word of God and immediately say, how can I be rebuked by this passage? You know, how can I be reproved by this passage? How can I be convicted of this, you know? That doesn't happen a lot when I read the word of God on my own. It does happen. I pray for that to happen. But it's not the first thing that maybe is natural for us, for our sinful man to do when we read the scriptures on our own. However, when we sit under the preaching of the word of God, again, that's a duty that the minister has when he proclaims the word of God, is to do those things for the congregation. And he's doing that in love, right? It's a great thing. I love when I come away from hearing a sermon that our pastor delivers to us, and I say, man, pastor, whoa, you know, that was really, you know, cuts the heart in that. That was convicting. The word of God convicted me in that area. The word of God showed me, you know, sin in that area in my life. And that a lot of times will come from the preaching of the word a lot more than it will come from my own reading of the word. So that's an important duty that the minister can give to us beyond our own reading. Then next, we have already talked about this, but the minister's commissioned by God to preach the word of God. So again, this isn't just anybody who's standing up here proclaiming God's word to you. You know, this is a man of God who's been commissioned by God himself. It's not an accident that they're filling the pulpit. It's somebody who's been sent there and ordained and put there by God. This is God's chosen man to proclaim his word to you. So again, I think there's, you know, without trying to sound too mystical or anything like that, there's something important behind that. You know, this is God's appointed, ordained man of God proclaiming his word to you. And so he's in that office. He's fulfilling that specific role. That's a biblical role that we find throughout Scripture. So God has sent him for that very purpose. Does that make sense? You know, a lot of times we talk about roles in our lives, you know, and so you think about different roles that people hold in your life. And so, you know, kids, you think about like your parents or something like that. Your mother or your father, they hold a very specific role in your life. They have very specific duties given to them in your life. You know, God has placed them in your life for very specific purposes. And in a similar way, you know, I think about the pastor, the minister who's proclaiming the word of God. He's got a very specific role, and God has placed him in your life and sat you under that hearing and preaching of the word of God for a very specific reason. So lastly, the minister is also equipped to preach the word of God. So what does this mean here? You know, we said over and over again that everybody should read the word of God, right? And everybody can, you know, read the word of God. We have access to it, and those are good things. But the minister is especially equipped to preach the word of God. What does that mean? Well, the minister is somebody we talked about who should be educated. He is going to labor in preparation for preaching the word of God. You know, a lot of times when we read the word of God on our own, it's something where I'll just wake up in the morning and I'll say, okay, you know, I've been reading through this or something. So I know I'm going to read the next chapter in Deuteronomy, and I'll just go ahead and I'll read it there. So there's not a whole lot of preparation that goes into that. I read it, and then, you know, you meditate on it and things like that. But as far as preaching of the word of God, are you aware of how much preparation goes into preaching a sermon? I don't want to put our pastor on the spot or anything, but, you know, it's hours and days that go into preparing for a sermon. He doesn't just, you know, say, oh, you know, I know we're in John or what we're preaching, you know, in the Psalms today. He doesn't say, oh, yeah, that's what we're supposed to be on next. And so, you know, we'll just kind of figure that out when we get there. And I know I'll read that to them and, you know, whatever kind of pops in my head. I mean, it's hours upon hours of labor that he spends in. You know, he's studying and he's preparing, you know, his sermon. He's preparing to preach the Word of God. And that's something that is an advantage that the minister has that you don't have as somebody who's just reading the Word of God for yourself. So he's been able to go through and he's prepared this. The minister is somebody who has, again, we talked about education, training. He's got knowledge that most of us probably don't possess when it comes to the Scriptures. You know, I don't know, again, we already said most of us probably don't know Latin, but how many of us know Greek and Hebrew really well? Not me, again. So, but our ministers, you know, that's one of the requirements is that they're trained in that, that they have, you know, studies in that, they have classes in that they're able to read through the original languages, and they know these things that average us lay people that, you know, don't always know. And so they have those advantages there. The minister is equipped to preach the Word of God. So, based on those reasons there is a sense that there's something that you receive by sitting under the preaching of the Word of God that you can't get just from reading the Word of God. Does that make sense? This isn't to diminish the reading of the Word of God by any means. We know that that's important. We said that you should be reading the Word of God for yourself on a regular basis, but that also doesn't mean that you want to just say, well, I have the Word of God and I can read it for myself, because there's also something that you receive by sitting under the preaching of the Word of God that's imperative that you receive it. And you want to diligently attend to that as well, to sitting under the preaching of the Word of God. So that brings us now, as we're wrapping up here, to question 160 in the larger catechism. Now this is where it's your turn. So you said, oh, well, I don't preach the Word of God. You know, that's not really talking to me. That was for Pastor Mark back there. He was listening. This one here, question 160. A lot of people aren't even aware of this, but did you know that there is a requirement of those that hear the Word of God preached? Did you know that? That's news to a lot of people. So let's find out here. Rom, could you read that answer? I'll read the question here. Question 160 of the larger catechism says, what is required of those that hear the Word preached?
It is required of those that hear the Word preached that they attend upon it with diligence, preparation, and prayer, examine what they hear by the Scriptures, receive the truth with faith, love, meekness, and readiness of mind as the Word of God, meditate and confer of it, hide it in their hearts, and bring forth the fruit of it in their lives.
Thank you. Again, were you aware of that? I mean, maybe you guys probably have. You've read through the larger catechism here, but I think most people don't realize this, that there's a duty, there's a requirement of them when they hear the Word of God preached. People don't realize that. There's a requirement. There's something that I'm required to do. There's something that I'm supposed to do. I thought I was just, you know, could come in here and just sit under the preaching of the Word of God. And, you know, maybe it's time, if you can sit where he can't see you too well, maybe time to, you can catch up on your nap or something like that. Or you can, no, there's actually requirement for those that are hearing the Word of God preached. And so as Ron read the answer to us there, it's fairly, it's a fairly lofty requirement. This is something important that we're to attend to. So let's look at that answer really quickly here as we close out and see what's required of those sitting under the preaching of the Word of God. All of us in here, when we sit under the preaching of the Word of God today, what's required of us? Well, first it says that they attend upon. And that simply means that they are paying attention to and that they are being present at, right? You can't pay attention to and attend upon the Word of God without being here. So that's the first and most obvious thing, right? Is that you have to be under the preaching of the Word of God. So again, this is something that all of you guys are already here, sitting here listening to this. So you say, well, yeah, that's obvious. You have to come to church on the Lord's Day. But how many people will, you know, take that time on the Lord's Day, and this is getting into a lot of other topics, and say, you know, that's their day to sleep in, or, you know, it's no big deal. Or they can catch, you know, they'll say something like, well, you know, I know they record all the sermons or something like that. We just listen to them later or something like that. But you first of all, you have to pay attention to and you have to be present at the preaching of the Word of God. And it says that we're to attend to it with these three things: with diligence, with preparation, and with prayer. So really quickly before we close, what does it mean to attend to hearing the word preached with diligence? Well, diligence is simply defined as careful and persistent work or effort. It's careful and persistent work or effort. Again, this is something you have to do on a regular basis. This is something you actually make effort to do. You attend to it diligently. So a lot of times I'll give people the example, you know, it simply means that you make regular church attendance a priority. And so a lot of times that's something that people kind of take for granted. You know, they don't do that with church attendance. But they'll definitely do that with things like their job, right? How many times what would happen if you told your employer, you know, every Monday morning it was a regular occurrence that you came in 2 hours late? And he said, well, where have you been? You know, it's 2 hours late. And you told your employer every Monday morning, well, you know how it's Mondays, you know, I'm tired and I had a late Sunday night, or, you know, whatever your excuse is, that wouldn't fly with your boss, right? Or you couldn't just be gone every Wednesday afternoon for the second half of the day from your job if you're supposed to be there during that time. Those things wouldn't fly. So you make sure and you attend to it with diligence. I know people that, you know, they make sure and they set their alarm and they say, hey, I know I have to be at work at 8 o'clock. That means when the alarm goes off at, you know, 6:30, doesn't matter how tired I am, doesn't matter how comfortable the bed is or whatever may be going on, doesn't matter if, you know, the weather outside is raining or something like that and it'd just be easier to stay home. No, I have to be there, so I make every effort and I make sure that I'm there. And that's the same diligence that we should attend to sitting under the preaching and hearing the preaching of the Word of God. We should make sure and make that a priority in our lives, that we're going to be at church no matter what. We're going to make sure. The second way that we're going to make sure we do this is through preparation. So again, the easiest way to go about being diligent with your regular church attendance and with your regular hearing of the Word of God is by good preparation. And these are real simple things that most of you guys probably already know about and probably already do, but maybe somebody is hearing this that isn't as familiar with that. So the most obvious way to prepare for being ready to hear the Word of God is to do what? How does that begin? It starts even yesterday, right? You guys probably already prepared by, you know, you probably went to bed earlier maybe than you normally do. You probably did things like, you probably, most of us who have little ones, you know, lay out the clothes the night before. These are just simple things, you know, that anybody can do. You want to pack whatever things you're going to need to take with you. How many times do you get ready to go to church and you can't find the car keys or just these little things like that? Kids can't find their shoes. You know, things like that. So you want to prepare ahead of time to make sure that you're able to attend to these regular hearing of the Word of God. And then lastly, talks about prayer. We want to attend upon the hearing of the Word preached with prayer. So I would simply say that you would pray when you come under the preaching of the Word of God, whether it be Saturday night or whether it be when you wake up on the Lord's Day that morning. Just a really simple prayer. And you can simply pray that God would help you do what the catechism answer says. You can pray that God would help you receive the truth with faith, love, meekness, and readiness of mind as the Word of God. You can pray and ask God to help you meditate and confer upon the Word of God. And you can pray and you can ask God to help you hide the Word of God in your hearts, that it would bring forth the fruit of it in your life. So these simple things: to be diligent, to be prepared, and to pray when you come to hear the Word of God preached, when you sit under the preaching of the Word of God. You want to make sure you're doing these things, because as we see in question 160, those are required of you when you sit under the preaching of the Word of God. It's something that you, just as we talked about the high and, you know, lofty things that the preacher has to do to prepare for preaching the Word of God, you as well have preparations that you have to do to hear the Word of God preached. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so hopefully that covers now. We've learned about how the Word of God is a means of grace to us, and we've learned about why it's important that we attend to, that we have the Word of God, and we've seen how we are to do that now. It's through the reading and the preaching of the Word of God. So next week we can move on into looking at the sacraments as a means of grace. And so we'll begin to explore baptism and the Lord's Supper. And so you maybe have a lot of times all kinds of questions regarding those sacraments, and we and Presbyterian churches tend to people on the outside, do things a lot differently regarding the sacraments. And so we're going to talk about all those things and why we do everything the way we do it and all the scriptural reasons and everything like that. So those will be good lessons for the next coming weeks. So I just want to encourage you to be here for those as well. So with that said,